and in my understanding. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in all our hearts and in our hearing. Amen. Please be seated. So as Clarence said, today in our Anglican tradition, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Cross. Now, honestly, that's a concept that I've always struggled with, because my instinctive association with the cross is one of suffering, so it's hardly something to have a feast about. These days are usually when we hold up something to celebrate the positive aspects of our Christian story. And even worse, ever since the late 1100s, some people have followed St. Anselm's conclusion that we celebrate the crucifixion because it was intended to appease God. That rather than have God angry with us all the time, as in today's story of the serpents in the desert, Christ, by suffering his crucifixion, has made God happy again. The problem with Anselm's concept is that it has led many people to believe that you really cannot be Christ-like unless you are suffering. The only way you can be really close to God is by demonstrating how much they're suffering in order to be truly holy. And I cry, Bull Tweedy. How could a God who loves us want us to suffer? In truth, the original idea behind celebrating the Holy Cross was to acknowledge it as the official symbol of Christianity, which is why, in their wisdom, Beverly and the building committee at the time installed this ginormous cross right out in front of our building. But if the cross is, in fact, the symbol, the logo, if you will, of Christianity, what is it actually the symbol of? I do wonder, when folks drive by here and see the cross out front, what do they actually think goes on here? For example, I was chatting the other day with an Uber driver who brought me here to the church. He was very upset at the murder of Charlie Kirk this week. And I realized he brought it up because he assumed that as a church member, as a Christian, I would see Kirk as some kind of a martyr. Now, of course, we all agree that the murder of any God's children is to be mourned. But at the same time, I made it clear that Mr. Kirk, who was publicly hostile to gays and trans people, who was an avowed racist and sexist, was absolutely not a follower of Christ. My driver was visibly shocked. He genuinely believed that Christians were like Mr. Kirk and obviously expected that Mr. Kirk's version of Christianity was what we practice here at St. Dunstan's. Is that actually who people think we are? If so, maybe it isn't totally surprising that really ever since COVID, we've seen our membership decline. If people don't know who we are and what we stand for, why on earth would they want to join us? Now, of course, a community of faith isn't a numbers game. But you do need a critical mass for this place and other places like it to continue. Just ask our treasurer, Peter, over there. But frankly, the best way to ensure that we have the resources that are needed to keep that cross alive is to increase our membership, which, ironically, is precisely the mission that Christ called us as disciples to do in the first place. I bet you didn't know we were going to be able to sneak a stewardship message into this. So what might this cross out here actually truly symbolize? May I suggest that what the Holy Cross symbolizes is sacrifice, the willingness to do or say something that is not evidently in our own interest for the benefit of someone or something else. Now, as you know, the Gospels often use hyperbole, just to show off my high school English grammar, or exaggeration to emphasize a point. Jesus' sacrifice was supreme, but it points us towards other sacrifices that might not have to be quite so dramatic. Let's remember that the word sacrifice in the original Latin actually means make sacred. There's nothing in there about suffering. Indeed, by this definition of making sacred, there might even be a reward, specifically a spiritual reward. So let me suggest that sacrifice is actually two-sided, that it isn't just about doing things you don't want to do, about being a martyr. On the contrary, let me suggest that contrary to how we have been brainwashed by North American culture, sacrificing or making sacred is good for our world and even leads to blessings. That when our sacrifice aligns with God's plan for us, the humans God created, it means that our connection, our relationship with the Creator is strengthened. And that is a blessing. And on the other hand, when we just do our own thing, our relationship with the Creator is weakened. So if that's all a little bit vague for you, let me invite you just to recall the last time that you made a sacrifice for the benefit of someone else. How did you actually feel? I'm not talking about being a martyr, because that only leads to resentment. I was once very close to a martyr. Trust me, I know whereof I speak. But the feeling we get when we know that we have done a good thing, isn't it a kind of joy? And that joy is the feeling we get when we're doing what God wants us to do. And that is a blessing. Now, there are many areas where we might choose to make sacrifices by this definition, both individually and collectively, to live out the promise of our brand logo, the cross, so that people do know precisely who we are. But since we are in the season of creation, let's focus on how we behave as stewards of God's creation. What sacrifices might we be able to make for the benefit of creation, which also means for the benefit of our children and grandchildren? Perhaps another way of thinking about the concept of sacrifice that I'm proposing is to think about it as stepping outside our comfort zone. And the difficult truth is that as mostly middle-class North Americans here today, our comfort zone is much more comfortable than just about anyone else in the world. And unfortunately, some of the things we have come to expect for our comfort are actually at odds with our responsibility to serve as stewards of God's creation. Of course, you might think that listening to your preachers drone on about this all the time is enough of a sacrifice. But I want to challenge us to go a stage further and to think about ways we might put our appreciation of God's and our gratitude for God's creation into practice. Let's face it, we all know what changes we need to make in our North American lifestyle to combat global warming. But if we're honest, as far as I can see, we don't make those sacrifices. We don't make those sacrifices because they take us outside our comfort zone. So let me invite us to reflect on what sacrifices we might make to fulfill our responsibility as stewards of God's creation. And I'll invite you now just to think about that in your own life. Is there an area of sacrifice that you might make that would help the creation that God has given us? Because I think that the opportunity here is to move beyond wringing our hands, which is most of the conversations that I participate in, wringing our hands about the state of things, to actually doing something about it. So to take this a stage further, how might we behave collectively to demonstrate the sacredness of creation, to carry the cross to this Alder Grove community we serve? What if, for example, St. Dunstan's became known as a place that takes caring for creation seriously? You know, perhaps there are other folks out here in the community who also care deeply about climate change, but feel helpless in the face of the challenge. Might they be attracted to joining us as a place where they could make a difference? A few possible examples. What if St. Dunstan's made a pledge to work on a particular creation challenge and then publicized it? Then people would know who we are. What if St. Dunstan's hosted forums on climate change, again specifically promoted in the community? Then folks would know who we are. And as your heart sinks, believe it or not, this is not a proposal to do more. I think we're all aware that many of us are already feeling quite exhausted and feel as though we couldn't take on one more thing. I am proposing that we step outside our comfort zone and perhaps do things differently. For example, some of you may not be aware that the garden space out there was originally conceived as a sort of environmental project where we would grow food, certainly for our Thursday evening meal and others who are hungry, fresh food without processing, without warehousing, without transportation. But also to provide an opportunity to help other members of the community to connect with caring for a small corner of creation. And you know, St. Dunstan's was the first organization in Alder Grove to introduce these concepts. That's how folks learned who we are. And at the time, some new people from outside the church joined us because they were interested in the idea, and it touched their hearts. So how could we offer up the space that God has given us on this footprint to show another sign of who we are? And again, it might mean stepping out of our comfort zones, really step outside our comfort zones and engage with folks who are not yet one of us. Perhaps we could sacrifice our discomfort with dealing with outsiders and strangers and allow ourselves to partner with other people or organizations in our community who have a heart for this kind of ministry. And I'm reminded that, in fact, partnering is, after all, a biblical concept. Jesus, rather than trying to go it alone, chose to partner with 12 apostles to spread the gospel. More specifically, Simon of Cyrene helped Jesus to carry the cross when the burden became too great for him alone. If Jesus had help with his burdens, maybe we can ask for help with ours. Now, folks, I certainly do not have all of the answers as to how we might do this. I did actually have to smile, if not choke, when I saw that the theme for today's service was the wisdom of creation. And then Clarence went and assigned me to preach. What was he thinking? So I don't have a lock on God's plan for this place as it applies to serving creation. But what I do know is this, that this St. Dunstan's can be a remarkable example of what it means to be Christian. Everything that this cross symbolizes. This past 20 years has proven that time and time again, that with God's help, we can accomplish more than we ever imagined. So let us pray and see if we can discern again how God in Christ wants us to help carry the cross.